this morning and to get to share. The verse up here is kind of our theme today, is God is my helper. It says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is my helper. And I was thinking about an illustration of what a helper would be like. And so I was thinking about all the appliances we have in our kitchen. We have stove, refrigerator, we have microwave, we have all these basic things, right, that take up a huge amount of space in our kitchen. And then we have all the little things that also are appliances, like, what, coffee pot, right, what else? Toaster, can opener, yeah. We have an Instant Pot. That's what Glenn likes to use. Anyway, all these things, all these different appliances do one thing. But they all help in different ways, right? So you could say that those appliances are our helpers. Well, the cool thing about God is that he's like he's just one appliance that does everything. So we could have a lot smaller kitchen if God was the one who was doing all the appliances, right? He can do everything that's needed. And I was thinking about that old cartoon about the Jetsons. You know, you just punch a button and this comes out, punch another button. But, so it's not the same thing as punching a button when we talk about God being our helper, but he can do everything that's needed. He's a present helper. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And I just got my new book. It's called Our Walk in Christ. And the last chapter has a couple of these verses in it that talk about how God will absolutely never leave us or forsake us. But Hebrews 4:16, and I'll read from my translation, says, therefore we should boldly come near the throne of his grace to receive mercies and to find grace for help in time of adversity or in time of trouble. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. So I'm going to do some fun things this morning where we can pray in between and really petition God as our helper, because it's real. It's now. It's very apropos that we take what we're learning and go immediately to do it. So we'll have fun with that. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, this is the one about I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says, for the Lord has said, I will not leave you, and I will not let go of you. And we can say confidently, my Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I love the part about I will not let go of you. It's one of my very favorite verses, because in Aramaic it means, my hands will not relax hold of you. In other words, they will not hang down and do nothing. God not only always holds to our hands, but he's always working on our behalf. He will never let go. My hands will not relax hold of you. And therefore, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. Barney had a great teaching last Thursday about Philippians 4:19. About how my God shall supply all your need, right? It's the God of me. So this is the help of me, the God of help of me. So I want you to make it really, really personal this morning. He's our helper, yes, but he's my helper. And when I think about it like that, then that's the reason I don't have to be afraid. And I love where this verse comes from is in Psalm 118. If you want to look there, you can. But I want to read it from the Septuagint translation, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it says, the Lord is my helper. That's the same. But then it puts it really positive. It says, and I will not fear what man will do to me. See, when you ask it this question, like, what shall man do to me? You kind of go, well, he can actually do a few things. But when you put it really positively where you're supposed to answer, what can man do to me? Nothing. That my Lord, when my Lord is my helper, then he is going to be on my side. And actually, that's what King James says, is the Lord is on my side. But that's why I wanted to read the Septuagint, because it's really clear that when the Lord is on your side, then he is your helper. He is my helper, right? Kathy had actually posted a Facebook link this morning where it was a quote from some place, and it says, remember three things. God is with you. God is still with you. And God is always with you. And I love that, because this word for helper in the Greek, it means that it's like when someone comes to the answer of a battle cry. Here's a time of trouble. There's a time of adversity. There's a need. There's something going on. And so when we say that the Lord is my helper, then he is going to come running to provide the aid and do whatever it will take to answer that need. He does not withhold it, ever. So the Lord is on my side, and he comes on the run to the battle cry. So I've also been studying recently a lot about intercession, and there's a chapter in here about how we can have prayer all the time. But the word picture for intercession, it means to speak to the highest authority. Where when we pray, what we're doing is we're calling on God as a helper. But because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, he knows everything about us, he knows all our need, then we can speak to him about that and come before him and say, Father, here is the need. I'm asking you to go to battle for me and provide whatever it is that needs to happen. So I thought what we would do is just, sometimes people call them popcorn prayers. It's where you just pray really quickly about something that comes to mind as a need. So the first thing that came to mind was all the plans that everybody has for moving and for the sale of the Barnhart and Fonda's house. And that this is a real need right now. It's something that needs to get taken care of and worked out. And so it says, where two or more gathered together, right? If we together speak to the highest authority, what we're doing is we're actually turning away from the problem. You don't look at the problem, but you look at God and go, God, you are my helper. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you and petition you as our helper to provide the things that our friends and family need, especially about the sale of their house, but also all the preparations for moving for every single person who has those plans going on. And also, Father, for the fellowship here and for everything also working out so tremendously in that way. And you promise, Father, that you'll come running to the battle cry, and you promise that where two or more are gathered together and we petition something in your name, that you will do it. So I pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So now, check out Lamentations, chapter 3. Jeremiah, Lamentations. This is not a book we go to very often, but it actually has a lot of wonderful things in it. Lamentations 3 and verse 57, and I'll read from the ESV. It says, "You came near when I called on you. You said, 'Do not fear.' You came near when I called on you. You said, 'Do not fear.'" The Septuagint adds a phrase in there. It says, "You drew near to my help," or "for my help, in the day I called you." You drew near to me for my help. And I just think that makes it even more powerful. It's like God will draw near to us. Whatever the need is, he will come near to us in the day we call unto him. For what? For our help. "And you said to me, 'Fear not.'" I just love that. We don't have to be afraid of anything. So I want to also pray right now for my mom, and I thought maybe I'd ask Jeannie if she would pray, because she has a surgery coming up, and there's just things that are going on in her heart. And sometimes when we're the ones that are so close to the situation, it's hard to know the words. So please, will you pray?
Heavenly Father, I lift you, Margaret, to thank you for her wonderful life and her devotion to you and for raising such wonderful children that received your word and made it their own and held it forth. And I especially pray right now for her mental and emotional care, for you just healing that dementia that's in her, and for her just receiving all the love and care that's provided for her. I pray for the surgery and for every detail of it. The surgeon was just spot on with what he needs to do, and the anesthesiologist.
About what a helper is. There's a kind of a white cell that's called, it's actually called a helper T cell. And this helper T cell is actually like the one that stimulates all the other white cells to start producing. Whenever there's something foreign in the body, that's the one that says, "Hey, we got to get to work here." And then all of a sudden, all the other kinds of white cells start multiplying. You know, like when you have a cut, then you see sometimes the white stuff surrounding it, right? Those are the white cells gone to work in a situation. But I just love that idea, is that this helper T cell is the one that stimulates all the other ones to get going. So that's how God is our helper too, is that whatever is the need, however the answer should come, he stimulates that to like start working. What is it that you need? See? Then you come to him and say, "God, I need you to be my helper. I need you to be my helper T cell. Can you just like get all the things going that need to get going here?" Okay. So there's some figurative uses of, especially in the Psalms, of words that we lots of times have talked about. And actually, when I was studying more about the Septuagint, I really never had really cared about the Greek Old Testament very much before. And when I started looking at this, I thought it was so interesting because it actually lines up with the Peshitta Old Testament. And where something in Hebrew, which is the translation we have right now, is a figurative thing, but then in the Septuagint, it actually is the word help. or helper. So I wanted to just look at a couple of those verses. Psalm 7, verse 10. The ESV says, "My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart." My shield, that actually is the word help in the Septuagint. My help is with God, who saves or delivers the upright in heart. So God is a shield. He's our defender. He's the one who provides the remedy, right? He's the one who saves. He's the deliverer. And that's why we can come before him and ask for these things. So, Bob, I wanted you to pray for Anthony Sakwa and for the work in Kenya, because, see, we can go to God and ask for him to be a helper for a situation that we know about. See, we know about this one. We don't know about every single believer in Kenya. We can pray for all the believers in Kenya. In fact, you know, my son Stephen, when he was young, his greatest prayer every night was, "Thank you, God, for all the believers around the world." Amen. You know? But see, when we know somebody really specific like this, then we can petition God and we can speak to the highest authority that he go to work on this man's behalf and all the people that he is influencing.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we lift our brother Anthony to you, and we say him before you, Father, that you would help in all that he does, and for his ministry, and all the people that he serves in his church, and the refuge camps, and other seminars that he teaches at. So I pray that you would protect his family, work, his ministry, bless the people that he touches. Pray also, Father, connections being made with other ministers, like-minded ministers that can help teach him, especially Emmanuel, and that they can have a connection that will be a blessing for both of them. So we give him before you, Father, and thank you for blessing him and taking care of him and energizing him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. That's kind of cool, huh? Okay, Psalm 22, verse 19. This is the New Living Translation. "O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid." And that word strength there in the Septuagint is help. You are my helper. Come quickly to my aid. See, that's what God does too, is he's not a piker. He doesn't withhold. He comes quickly when there's a need. And Psalm 91, verse 1, this is a familiar verse to all of us, is, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty," right? That in the secret place, in the Septuagint, is the word help. He that dwells in the help of the Most High. Is he the Most High God? Yeah. So when we dwell, we make our home. God is my helper. That's all there is to it. I don't care what anything looks like around on the outside. I am going to concentrate and focus my heart, my mind, my soul, everything that's within me to seek him and seek his answer, right? And so he's a place of refuge. And another definition of this word helper is like the undergirding of a ship. When Paul was in the storm on the way to Rome, the ship was being tossed around in a storm for 14 days straight, and it says they had no hope of being rescued. Then God told him that every single person on that ship was going to be saved. And when they were lightening the ship and they threw everything overboard, then they undergirded the ship with ropes so that it wouldn't fall apart. And even then, when it hit the rocks, it started breaking up. But that's when they were able to go to the shore, because they'd gotten close enough to the shore that every single person was rescued. So this undergirding with the ropes is the whole idea of a helper too. See, so we got all the appliances we need, we got helper T cell, and we got ropes that undergird us. So now look at Psalm 62. Verse 5, and I'm going to read the ESV first. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. And I think this is, I've talked a lot about waiting at different times too, how there's different words for waiting, and one of them is to entwine your heart together with God's. But this one is to wait in silence. It's like, zip your lip. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the solution, how God is our helper. And when we start doing that, see, we're turning away from the problem and we're looking to God for the answer. So wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. I will not be moved. On my way to heaven. Right? Okay. On God, verse 7, rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. In other words, think about it. Meditate on this. Pour out your heart before Him. Why? Because this word fortress here in the Septuagint, again, is He is the God of my help, and my hope is in God. When we really believe that God is my helper, our helper, then we'll go to Him. We'll pour out our heart to Him. We'll pour out all the things that are in there. Not the problem, but how great He is, how He has the answer, how He will come to our aid. He won't stand back and do nothing. His hands won't hang down and do nothing. So He is the God of my help. And then verse 8 is really cool too. It says, hope in Him, all you congregation of the people. O ye people, pour out your hearts before Him, for God is our helper. God is our helper. See, He becomes that place of refuge or the fortress. You know, a fortress is a big, huge castle. We found a picture on a hill. Yeah, see the castle? It's a fortress. You know, if enemies were going to try to get up that hill to get to the castle, they had to climb a mighty steep rock, right, to get there. And so if we're in the castle, and He is our place of refuge, our fortress. See, then you can say, you can answer that question. What can man do to me? Nothing. So, I want to do one more prayer, and that's to pray for our country and our schools and the first responders and things like that. Who would like to do that? Bob.
Godliness to the rest of the world. Thank you for helping us stay that way, Father. Help all of us.
121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? From where does my help come? From where does it come? From God, because He is our helper. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Also, I wanted to read Isaiah 41, verse 10. This was my daughter Sarah's favorite verse when she was growing up. She said it over and over again. And it has really always been something really, really special to me, primarily because she made it her own. And it says in the ESV, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's this hand. This is verse 13. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. I am your helper." So God is our helper. He never leaves. He never lets go of our hand. He never stops working on our behalf. He's our shield. He's our strength. He's our place of refuge. And He's our fortress. And He always comes to running to the battle cry. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help or helper in time of trouble. So, Father, I thank you for your word and how beautiful it is, how really truly simple it is, and how we can speak to you as not only our Father, but because you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you know everything that is our needs before we even ask sometimes. So we're so thankful and so grateful for your love and for all that you do. And we also thank you for all the many answers and deliverance that you have provided for us throughout all these years. And that because of that, we can tell about your greatness. We can worship you. We can give you our heart and our soul. And so I thank you for all these wonderful, beautiful people and our fellowship here this morning, just for meeting every single person's need. And maybe they were praying while we were talking about something deep on their own hearts. And so, Father, you heard that prayer. And I ask you to go and work on their behalf as their helper. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.